Chapter 49. Moving in society, if young John Chivery had had the inclination and the power to write a satire on family pride, he would have had no need to go for an avenging illustration out of the family of his beloved. He would have found it amply in that gallant brother and that dainty sister, so steeped in mean experiences, and so loftily conscious of the family name, so ready to beg or borrow from the poorest, to eat of anybody's bread, spend anybody's money, drink from anybody's cup, and break it afterwards. To have painted the sordid facts of their lives, and they throughout invoking the death's head apparition of the family gentility to come and scare their benefactors, would have made young John a satirist of the first water. Tip had turned his liberty to hopeful account by becoming a billiard marker. He had troubled himself so little as to the means of his release that Clennam scarcely needed to have been at the pains of impressing the mind of Mr. Plornish on that subject. Whoever had paid him the compliment, he very readily accepted the compliment with his compliments, and there was an end of it. Issuing forth from the gate on these easy terms, he became a billiard marker, and now occasionally looked in at the little skittle ground in a green Newmarket coat second hand, with a shining collar and bright buttons new, and drank the beer of the collegians. One solid stationary point in the looseness of this gentleman's character was that he respected and admired his sister Amy. The feeling had never induced him to spare her a moment's uneasiness, or to put himself to any restraint or inconvenience on her account. But with that Marshalsea attained upon his love, he loved her. The same rank Marshalsea flavor was to be recognized in his distinctly perceiving that she sacrificed her life to her father, and in his having no idea that she had done anything for himself. When this spirited young man and his sister had begun systematically to produce the family skeleton for the overawing of the college, this narrative cannot precisely state. Probably at about the period when they began to dine on the college charity. It is certain that the more reduced and necessitous they were, the more pompously the skeleton emerged from its tomb, and that when there was anything particularly shabby in the wind, the skeleton always came out with the ghastliest flourish. Little Dorrit was late on the Monday morning, for her father slept late, and afterwards there was his breakfast to prepare, and his room to arrange. She had no engagement to go out to work, however, and therefore stayed with him until, with Maggie's help, she had put everything right about him, and had seen him off upon his morning walk of 20 yards or so, to the coffee house to read the paper. She then got on her bonnet and went out, having been anxious to get out much sooner. There was, as usual, a cessation of the small talk in the lodge as she passed through it, and a collegian who had come in on Saturday night received the intimation from the elbow of a more seasoned collegian, "Look out! Here she is!" Apostrophe. She wanted to see her sister, but when she got round to Mr. Cripple's, she found that both her sister and her uncle had gone to the theater where they were engaged. Having taken thought of this probability by the way, and having settled that in such case she would follow them, she set off afresh for the theater, which was on that side of the river, and not very far away. Little Dorrit was almost as ignorant of the ways of theaters as of the ways of gold mines, and when she was directed to a furtive sort of door, with a curious up all night air about it, that appeared to be ashamed of itself, and to be hiding in an alley, she hesitated to approach it, being further deterred by the sight of some half-dozen close-shaved gentlemen with their hats very strangely on, who were lounging about the door, looking not at all unlike collegians. On her applying to them, reassured by this resemblance, for a direction to Miss Dorrit, they made way for her to enter a dark hall that was more like a great grim lamp gone out than anything else, where she could hear the distant playing of music, and the sound of dancing feet. A man so much in want of airing that he had a blue mold upon him, sat watching this dark place from a hole in a corner, like a spider. And he told her that he would send a message up to Miss Dorrit by the first lady or gentleman who went through. The first lady who went through had a roll of music, half in her muff and half out of it, and was in such a tumbled condition altogether, that it seemed as if it would be an act of kindness to iron her. But as she was very good-natured, and said, "Come with me, I'll soon find Miss Dorrit for you," apostrophe Miss Dorrit's sister went with her, drawing nearer and nearer at every step she took in the darkness to the sound of music, and the sound of dancing feet. At last they came into a maze of dust, where a quantity of people were tumbling over one another, and where there was such a confusion of unaccountable shapes of beams, bulkheads, brick walls, ropes, and rollers, and such a mixing of gaslight and daylight, that they seemed to have got on the wrong side of the pattern of the universe. Little Dorrit, left to herself, and knocked against by somebody every moment, was quite bewildered, when she heard her sister's voice. "Why, good gracious, Amy, whatever brought you here? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I wanted to see you, Fanny dear, and as I am going out all day tomorrow, and knew you might be engaged all day today, I thought apostrophe, but the idea, Amy, of you coming behind. I never did." Apostrophe, as her sister said this in no very cordial tone of welcome, she conducted her to a more open part of the maze, where various golden chairs and tables were heaped together, and where a number of young ladies were sitting on anything they could find, chattering. All these young ladies wanted ironing, and all had a curious way of looking everywhere while they chattered. Just as the sisters arrived here, a monotonous boy in a Scotch cap put his head round a beam on the left, and said, "Less noise there, ladies!" Apostrophe, apostrophe, and disappeared. Immediately after which, a sprightly gentleman with a quantity of long black hair looked round a beam on the right, and said, "Less noise there, darlings!" Apostrophe, apostrophe, and also disappeared. "The notion of you among professionals, Amy, is really the last thing I could have conceived." Apostrophe, apostrophe, said her sister. "Why, how did you ever get here?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, I don't know. The lady who told you I was here, was so good, as to bring me in. Apostrophe, like you quiet little things. You can make your way anywhere, I believe. I couldn't have managed it, Amy, though I know so much more of the world. Apostrophe, it was the family custom to lay it down as family law, that she was a plain domestic little creature, without the great and sage experience of the rest. This family fiction was the family assertion of itself against her services. Not to make too much of them. Well, and what have you got on your mind, Amy? Of course you have got something on your mind about me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Fanny. She spoke as if her sister, between 2 and 3 years her junior, were her prejudiced grandmother. It is not much, but since you told me of the lady who gave you the bracelet, Fanny, apostrophe, the monotonous boy put his head round the beam on the left, and said, "Look out there, ladies!" Apostrophe, apostrophe, and disappeared. The sprightly gentleman with the black hair as suddenly put his head round the beam on the right, and said, "Look out there, darlings!" Apostrophe, apostrophe, and also disappeared. Thereupon all the young ladies rose, and began shaking their skirts out behind. "Well, Amy?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Fanny, doing as the rest did. "What were you going to say?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, since you told me a lady had given you the bracelet you showed me, Fanny, I have not been quite easy on your account, and indeed want to know a little more, if you will confide more to me. Apostrophe, now, ladies. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the boy in the Scotch cap. Now, darlings. Apostrophe, said the gentleman with the black hair. They were everyone gone in a moment, and the music and the dancing feet were heard again. Little Dorrit sat down in a golden chair, made quite giddy by these rapid interruptions. Her sister and the rest were a long time gone, and during their absence a voice, it appeared to be that of the gentleman with the black hair, was continually calling out through the music, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, go! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, go! Steady, darlings! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, go. Apostrophe apostrophe ultimately the voice stopped, and they all came back again, more or less out of breath, folding themselves in their shawls, and making ready for the streets. Stop a moment, Amy, and let them get away before us, apostrophe whispered Fanny. They were soon left alone, nothing more important happening, in the meantime, than the boy looking round his old beam, and saying, everybody at 11 tomorrow, ladies. Apostrophe apostrophe and the gentleman with the black hair looking round his old beam, and saying, everybody at 11 tomorrow, darlings. Apostrophe apostrophe each in his own accustomed manner. When they were alone, something was rolled up or by other means got out of the way, and there was a great empty well before them, looking down into the depths of which Fanny said, now, uncle. Apostrophe apostrophe little Dorrit, as her eyes became used to the darkness, faintly made him out at the bottom of the well, in an obscure corner by himself, with his instrument in its ragged case under his arm. The old man looked as if the remote high gallery windows, with their little strip of sky, might have been the point of his better fortunes, from which he had descended, until he had gradually sunk down below there to the bottom. He had been in that place 6 nights a week for many years, but had never been observed to raise his eyes above his music book, and was confidently believed to have never seen a play. There were legends in the place that he did not so much as know the popular heroes and heroines by sight, and that the low comedian had mugged at him in his richest manner 50 nights for a wager, and he had shown no trace of consciousness. The carpenters had a joke to the effect that he was dead without being aware of it, and the frequenters of the pit supposed him to pass his whole life, night, and day, and Sunday and all, in the orchestra. They had tried him a few times with pinches of snuff offered over the rails, and he had always responded to this attention with a momentary waking up of manner that had the pale phantom of a gentleman in it. Beyond this he never, on any occasion, had any other part in what was going on than the part written out for the clarionet. In private life, where there was no part for the clarionet, he had no part at all. Some said he was poor, some said he was a wealthy miser, but he said nothing, never lifted up his bowed head, never varied his shuffling gait, by getting his springless foot from the ground. Though expecting now to be summoned by his niece, he did not hear her until she had spoken to him 3 or 4 times, nor was he at all surprised by the presence of 2 nieces instead of 1, but merely said in his tremulous voice, I am coming, I am coming. Apostrophe apostrophe and crept forth by some underground way which emitted a cellarous smell. And so, Amy, apostrophe said her sister, when the 3 together passed out at the door, that had such a shamefaced consciousness of being different from other doors. The uncle instinctively taking Amy's arm as the arm to be relied on. So, Amy, you are curious about me? Apostrophe apostrophe, she was pretty, and conscious, and rather flaunting, and the condescension with which she put aside the superiority of her charms, and of her worldly experience, and addressed her sister on almost equal terms, had a vast deal of the family in it. I am interested, Fanny, and concerned in anything that concerns you. Apostrophe, so you are, and you are the best of Amy's. If I am ever a little provoking, I am sure you will consider what a thing it is to occupy my position, and feel a consciousness of being superior to it. I shouldn't care, apostrophe said the daughter of the father of the Marshalsea, if the others were not so common. None of them have come down in the world as we have. They are all on their own level. Common. Apostrophe, little Dorrit mildly looked at the speaker, but did not interrupt her. Fanny took out her handkerchief, and rather angrily wiped her eyes. I was not born where you were, you know, Amy, and perhaps that makes a difference. My dear child, when we get rid of Uncle, you shall know all about it. We'll drop him at the cook's shop, where he is going to dine. apostrophe, they walked on with him until they came to a dirty shop window in a dirty street, which was made almost opaque by the steam of hot meats, vegetables, and puddings. But glimpses were to be caught of a roast leg of pork bursting in two tiers of sage and onion in a metal reservoir full of gravy, of an unctuous piece of roast beef and blisterous Yorkshire pudding, bubbling hot in a similar receptacle, of a stuffed fillet of veal in rapid cut, of a ham in a perspiration with the pace it was going at, of a shallow tank of baked potatoes glued together by their own richness, of a truss or two of boiled greens, and other substantial delicacies. Within, were a few wooden partitions, behind which such customers as found it more convenient to take away their dinners in stomachs than in their hands, packed their purchases in solitude. Fanny, opening her reticule, as they surveyed these things, produced from that repository a shilling, and handed it to Uncle. Uncle, after not looking at it a little while, divined its object, and muttering dinner? Ha! Yes, yes, yes! Apostrophe slowly vanished from them into the mist. Now, Amy, apostrophe said her sister, come with me, if you are not too tired to walk to Harley Street, Cavendish Square. Apostrophe, the air with which she threw off this distinguished address, and the toss she gave to her new bonnet, which was more gauzy than serviceable, made her sister wonder. However, she expressed her readiness to go to Harley Street, and thither they directed their steps. Arrived at that grand destination, Fanny singled out the handsomest house, and knocking at the door, inquired for Mrs. Myrtle. The footman who opened the door, although he had powder on his head, and was backed up by two other footmen likewise powdered, not only admitted Mrs. Myrtle to be at home, but asked Fanny to walk in. Fanny walked in, taking her sister with her, and they went upstairs with powder going before and powder stopping behind, and were left in a spacious semicircular drawing room, one of several drawing rooms, where there was a parrot on the outside of a golden cage holding on by its beak, with its scaly legs in the air, and putting itself into many strange upside-down postures. This peculiarity has been observed in birds of quite another feather, climbing upon golden wires. The room was far more splendid than anything Little Dorrit had ever imagined, and would have been splendid and costly in any eyes. She looked in amazement at her sister, and would have asked a question, but that Fanny with a warning frown pointed to a curtained doorway of communication with another room. The curtain shook next moment, and a lady, raising it with a heavily ringed hand, dropped it behind her again as she entered. The lady was not young and fresh from the hand of nature, but was young and fresh from the hand of her maid. She had large unfeeling handsome eyes, and dark unfeeling handsome hair, and a broad unfeeling handsome bosom, and was made the most of in every particular. Either because she had a cold, or because it suited her face, she wore a rich white fillet tied over her head, and under her chin. And if ever there were an unfeeling handsome chin, that looked as if, for certain, it had never been, in familiar parlance, chucked by the hand of man, it was the chin curved up so tight, and close by that laced bridle. Mrs. Myrtle, apostrophe said Fanny. My sister, ma'am. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.